Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll move on to Quran chapter 2 and verse 108, where the Jewish people ask Muhammad, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, to perform a miracle to them so that they may believe in him. And in verse 108, we read the response of Muhammad to their request. For there we read, "Or do you wish to ask your messenger as Moses was asked before? And whoever changes face for infidelity, so indeed he has gone astray from the right sabil," which is an Arabic word from Syriac origin, which means way. Now, when we read the statement, "Or do you wish to ask your messenger as Moses was asked before?" we do not know what was the question which was given to Moses. But to learn about that, we have to go back to 55 of Quran chapter 2. For there, Muhammad made the following claim. In verse 55, we read, "And when you said, O Moses, we will not believe you until we see Allah openly. So the thunderbolt seized you while you were looking on." Obviously, this conversation never took place between the children of Israel and Moses. As a matter of fact, when we read the Bible, we see the opposite of that. When Moses used to go up to the Mount of Sinai to talk with God, and the Jewish people saw the lightning and the smoke and heard the thunder, they actually got afraid. And they told Moses the following, which we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 19. "Then they said, O Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." You see, the Bible teaches the opposite message of that which Muhammad claimed in the Quran. So once again, what was the problem? The problem is the Jewish people in Muhammad days, and so is the Muslims, were hoping that Muhammad will perform a miracle so that he can prove to them that he is a true prophet, a true messenger from God. What were the Jewish people asking? It's very simple. They're asking Muhammad to bring a full book from heaven, like the Torah. Wait a minute. Well, Muhammad has the Quran. No. You have to understand that small book of the Quran, Muhammad put together in 23 years. That will be less than a verse a day, because the Quran only contains 6,000 verses. So if Muhammad will write a couple of verses here and a couple of verses there, he will be able to put that Quran together in these 23 years. But Moses did not do the same. Moses wrote the first five books and he gave to the children of Israel as God's word in short years. And that's not the issue. The issue is Moses performed other great miracles to prove to the children of Israel that he is a true prophet, with or without giving them the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And by the way, the children of Israel never asked Moses to perform any miracle. According to the Quran, they were asking Moses to perform miracles. They want to see God face to face. When in reality, that's not what we just have read in Exodus 20:19. For there, they don't want to see a miracle. But in the Bible, look at the wisdom of God. When God met with Moses in Midian, before he sent him to the children of Israel, he actually gave him two miracles, which are the rod turned to a snake and his hand becomes white like leprous without any sickness. And he told him, if they did not believe these two miracles, do the third one, which is dumping water on the ground, which will turn to blood. Why God told Moses to have these three powerful miracles in his hand before he will go and ask the children of Israel to follow him and to lead them to the promised land? It's very simple, because God knows humans And humans need evidence that Moses is a true prophet and he was sent by God. Not in the case of Muhammad, when the Muslims who believed in him begged him, please perform a miracle for the Jewish people so they may believe in you. And the Jewish people asked for these miracles to believe in him. First of all, they asked him to give a book. Not a couple of verses here, a couple of verses there, but a full book, which to them is an evidence that he was sent by God. Second, they ask him to cause rivers to come out of the mountain. After all, Moses, according to the Bible and the Quran, strikes a rock and water gushed out of it. But in his response, Muhammad did not say, well, let me at least ask God, or just wait on me and I will perform that miracle. No, 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 no. He simply answers the request by this ridiculous verse in Quran chapter 2 and verse 108. And let me read it to you again. Or do you wish to ask your messenger as Moses was asked before? Once again, nobody asked Moses to perform miracle, but God Almighty empowered him to perform miracles as an evidence. And Muhammad gives that weak, ridiculous answer. This is a very poor excuse, does not fit in such time or situation. All what Muhammad must do is simply perform one miracle, as Prophet Moses did and many of the true prophets of the Bible did. He was just giving that excuse as to make himself equal to Moses. And boy, oh boy, the huge difference between Moses and Muhammad. Moses performed great miracles. He struck the Egyptian with 10 plagues. He split the Red Sea. And all the Egyptian army drowned, that includes Pharaoh himself, in the Red Sea when he causes the water to come back. And once again, he struck the rock and the water came out of it. And more important, he spoke with God speaking. And that is one of the verses of the Quran, which means Moses used to talk to God as a man talked to his friend. And Muhammad did not have any of these miracles at all. No one of the children of Israel doubted that Moses is a prophet. And no one ever believed in Muhammad to be a prophet. That is a huge difference between Moses and Muhammad. Let's move on to the following verse, that is Quran chapter 2 and verse 109. For there Muhammad stated, many of the people of the book desire to turn you back to infidels after you have believed, out of envy from themselves, after the truth has been shown to them. So pardon and forgive them until Allah will come in with his command. Surely Allah has might over all things. Some of the Jewish people spoke to Huzayfa, son of Al-Yaman, and Ammar ibn Yasir after the battle of Uhud. And they said to them, if you were in the truth, why did you escape? So come back to our religion. We are on a guided way than yours. But these two Muslim men did not accept that. And they went to Muhammad and they told him about this conversation. Muhammad answered, you have done what is right and you have prospered. And that's when Muhammad inserted the verse, Quran chapter 2, verse 109, which states again, many of the people of the book desire to turn you back to infidels after you have believed. Did Muhammad say that sentence was a revelation from God? Was this something really inspired by Allah to Muhammad through Angel Jibreel? Or that is a logic and common sense to add one more verse for that day to continue making up his Quran for the Muslim believers? As for the powerful statement, so pardon and forgive them, all Muslim scholars assured us that that portion of the verse was abrogated by the verse of the surah, that is Quran chapter 9 and verse 5, which states, so when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheist wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent, that is convert to Islam, and perform the prayer, and bring the legal arms, so leave their way free, surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. The verse of the sword is a replacement of any phrases like pardon or forgive or wait, because that is not how Allah finalized his commands in the Quran.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Now, in Quran chapter 2, verse 113, we read the following verse. And the Jews said, the Christians are not standing on anything. And the Christians said, the Jews are not standing on anything. And they are reciting the book. Likewise said those who do not know a saying, like their saying. So Allah will judge between them on the resurrection day about what they were differing. And now here is the story behind that verse. A Christian group from Najran came to Muhammad. The Jewish people came to them and they debated until their voice got a little bit high as they get excited. So the Jewish people told the Christians from Najran, you have nothing in the religion. And the Jewish people denounced Jesus Christ and they denounced the gospel. So the Nasara, he meant the Christians, in response to what the Jewish people said to them, and you have nothing of the religion. And we don't believe in Moses nor the Torah. So Muhammad took this conversation between the Jewish and the Christians and he inserted it in his Quran. That is Quran chapter 2, verse 113. Once again, where is revelation here? I mean, what has inspired Muhammad? Remember, there are 6,000 verses written in the Quran in 23 years. Any person with logic or common sense, as he sees things happening every day, you can write a chapter a day, or maybe just say 10 verses a day, which means Muhammad could have made the Quran 60-some thousand verses, not just 6, but 60,000 verses, and he will not prove by that book anything about his prophethood, because he was just living every day, see things happening, and he make up verses and he insert it in the Quran. And notice, there is no context for these verses. As you read the entire Quran, you will discover that verses are not connected to each other. Sometime Muhammad will be talking about a biblical story after obviously he corrupts it and he inserts it in the Quran. And sometime he puts these stories of the Bible in weird order. You see Moses come before Adam and Jesus come before Abraham. And these stories are always repeated in different order. But even that verse does not say the truth. Maybe the Jewish people could not believe in Jesus or the gospel, but the Christian could not be a Christian unless they believe in Moses and the Torah, because the writing of Moses and the writing of the Old Testament is the evidence which Christians have always used to prove that Christianity is true, because Christianity is simply the fulfillment of all the prophecies which were written throughout the pages of the Old Testament. And we must realize also that the information in the conversation is not true. Therefore, Allah would have corrected Muhammad and let him know, wait a minute, the Jewish do not believe in Jesus, but Christians must believe in Moses. But the purpose of why Muhammad put that verse in the Quran is very simple. He wanted to show the Arab that he was nothing to them, as the Jewish and the Christian are also standing on nothing. And the best way to end this conversation is to say, well, Allah will judge on the day of judgment. So all the believers of Islam have to wait until the day of judgment to see who is speaking the truth, the Jews or the Christians or the Muslims. If Muhammad was a true prophet, he should end this conversation on the spot by showing the wrong in Judaism and the wrong in Christianity and the truth of Islam. That is obviously by giving some evidence in the Quran to prove his prophethood. But once again, as we began that broadcast, Muhammad could not perform one miracle to prove that he is a true prophet. Well, let's close our program today by looking at one more verse in Quran chapter 2, and that is verse 115. For there we read, and to Allah the east and the west. So wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. Surely Allah is immense knowing. What is this verse all about? You see, Ibn Abbas told us the interpretation of that verse. When Muhammad migrated to the city of Yathrib, which he changed its name later to Medina, Allah commanded him, when he prayed, to face Jerusalem. And the Jewish people rejoiced, and a few of them believed in him. And he did that for several months, as he loved the direction of prayer of Abraham. And he used to call on Allah, and he looked to heaven. So Allah asked Muhammad to change the direction of the prayer back to Mecca, which is south, not north. The Jewish people were worried because now Muhammad is changing the direction of his prayer. Earlier, he respected the religion and he was worshiping towards Jerusalem, and that's why they were rejoicing. But now Muhammad is turning his back on the Jewish people and on the Jewish beliefs by worshiping towards Mecca, a building which used to have at that time 365 gods. These are idols which all the Arabs used to worship in Muhammad days. Now we know from the Hadith, when some of the Jewish people saw what Muhammad did by changing the direction of prayer from Jerusalem back to Mecca, they actually left Muhammad because they said now Muhammad is going back to the religion of his fathers, not to the direction of the prayer of the Jews, which is the truth. Muhammad added to the Quran a few more verses to continue with his propaganda concerning the direction of prayer. And that is what we read in verses 136 to verse 145. Say, we believe in Allah and what has been sent down to us and what has been sent down to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribes, and what has been given to Moses and Isa, and what has been given to the prophets from their Lord. We do not differentiate between any of them, and to him we are Muslims. We move on to verse 142, when Muhammad stated, the fools among the people will say, what has turned them from the direction which they were? That is, when Muhammad changed the direction of prayer from Mecca to Jerusalem, back to Mecca. Say, the east and the west to Allah. He guides whom he wills into a straight way. And likewise, we have made you a central nation that you may be witness against the people and that the messenger may be a witness against you. And we did not appoint the direction which you were on except that we might know who follows the messenger from him who turns on his heels. And it was a big, he means difficult, except to those whom Allah guided. And Allah was not to let your face be lost. Surely Allah to the people is compassionate, merciful. Notice here the good excuse Muhammad gave concerning his changing of the direction of prayer, that this was simply a test by Allah to see the true follower of Muhammad from those who will not believe in Muhammad. For those who just simply say they believe but they're not believers. When in reality, the only reason why Muhammad changed the direction of prayer from Mecca to Jerusalem because he was hoping by doing that many of the Jewish people will believe in him. When in reality, only few did it. So obviously Muhammad figured it out Well, it will not make too much difference. Then I might go back to the old direction of prayer, which is back to Mecca, which Muslims still hold on to that direction of prayer even until today. So what was Muhammad trying to do in this passage we just read in the Quran? First, he tried to make himself like the Jews, like the Christians. He believed in the Jewish books and the Christian books. He believed in the Jewish prophets and the Christian messengers. He believed like every Jew and every Christian. Why did he do that? Because he was hoping that they will just accept him as a prophet and as a final messenger of Allah, and they will all become Muslims. That's why he prayed towards Jerusalem, as many the Jews and the Christians in Muhammad days prayed towards Jerusalem. But all this was wiped away because it did not bring the fruit which Muhammad was hoping to receive by his deception. And in the end, Muhammad went back to his old way, to the direction of Mecca, as all the idol worshippers did in his days. And once again, that's what Muslims continue to do even until today. The technique of Muhammad is not new. Have you ever talked to a Muslim in America? They will tell you they believe in Jesus and they believe in Moses. They believe in the Torah and in the gospel. And if you give them enough time, when they found out there is no hope for you to become a Muslim by believing in their Muhammad and in the Quran, the true picture of Islam will show up. When Muslim will tell you, we don't believe in the Moses of the Bible, we don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, and we don't believe in your Bible. After all, your Bible has been corrupted. And that is the techniques which Muslims always used in the West. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.